With this Spotlight on the Arts for KASU, I'm Marty Scarborough. Tickets are on sale today for the Distinguished Performance Series to be held at the Fowler Center in the upcoming school year. I spoke with Dr. Wendy Himes, director of the Fowler Center, who described the process of choosing groups and ensembles to perform in that series.
It is so much fun. I mean, I get paid to do this, and it's I just enjoy it so much. I'm a musician myself, so there's no shortage of great talent out there. So it's very fun to get to know what's touring and if it's appropriate for our venue here. One of the very important places that I get to go is the Arts Midwest Conference, and that happens every September in a different city in the Midwest. Last year's conference, I saw about 80 different showcases of different artists, different groups, different acts that are available and touring for venues such as ours. And so it's really important to get to see the group live. You really get a better sense of what they're like, the styles of music, how they interact with the audience. You know, you can see a lot online. Everybody has their videos online. YouTube, of course, is important. So you can watch and listen in that respect. But to really get a sense of what the performance is going to be like, this is indispensable to go and see them in action. So I love going to Arts Midwest. And from there, we are in contact with the agents, or I should say the agents start bugging me nonstop about having their group come, and we talk about working with other theaters that are also interested, and we get a much better price if we can book a block of performances as opposed to just a one-shot deal type of thing. And so we get as much bang for our buck, and we have some great collaborations happening on our series this year. The Mark O'Connor, he's stopping in at least one other place in Arkansas. So that was the way that we could afford to bring him. It's a great opportunity.
How do you balance the different styles of music? What determines, okay, we're going to do this type of show with this genre of music or not do a show with this genre of music this upcoming year? How do you make those type of calls and determinations of these are the types of music that we're going to present in the series in a given year?
Something that I did at the end of this season was an audience survey, because being new to our area, I wanted to make sure that I had a sense for what our audience enjoys in terms of shows, styles of music, and everything else. And from that survey, from the responses, I learned that you can't please everyone. We had so many different shows that were everybody's favorites. I can tell you that Voice Play, Celtic Crossroads, Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and The Piano Man were all nearly tied for favorites with different segments of our audience. So that really gives me an idea that a variety is what people want. And so we tried to give a little bit of everything on this year's season as well.
Well, let's get to a little bit of the specifics and talk about why you feel each one of the shows on this upcoming 2013-2014 season will appeal to someone. Mm-hmm. And the first show that you've got coming up on September 22nd is a well-known, perhaps the best-known female bluegrass artist in the country, Rhonda Vincent and her band, The Rage.
We know you're not very excited about this, Marty, but no, I'm just kidding. You know more about this band than I do, Marty, so maybe you should talk about it.
Well, you said that you have seen Rhonda Vincent in person. Was this at the Midwest Convention, or was this elsewhere that you've actually seen her? So from your perspective as someone who may not be as familiar with bluegrass as I am, what is it to you that makes Rhonda Vincent such an appealing and outstanding entertainer?
I did. I saw her up at the Arts Midwest Conference last September in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she blew me away. Now, Marty, I am new to bluegrass. I'm a musician, and I'm a singer, and I could immediately sense the synergy of her band, that relationship. You can tell when an ensemble knows each other's styles and when they know how to play well together. And then her voice, just I couldn't walk out of the room. Her voice was so intensely beautiful lyrical and passionate. And I just said, holy cow, you know, if we're going to have a bluegrass event, we're going to have this lady come. And I saw that she's been here before, but it's been, I think it's been 4 years. So we do like to rotate popular artists once it's been about 4 years. So I thought, let's bring her back.
The next show is one that's going to be somewhat nostalgic. Tell us about the appeal of All Hands on Deck, the show coming November the 9th.
This show is going to be appealing to everybody who likes Bob Hope's 1942 USO tours to the troops in the field. It's a two-act review performed by four charismatic singer, dancer, comics, backed by a nine-piece orchestra. And it features the songs, dances, and all the laughs that Americans loved since the 1940s. So you'll hear classic big band hits. And then Act Two becomes a live radio broadcast, which is going to be appealing to you, of course. It's going to be very fun, with lots of fun impromptu skits. And the audience in the hall will become the radio audience. This is going to appeal to active duty service members as well as veteran members of our armed forces. A very patriotic show. It's going to be a big hit.
Now, you made reference earlier to the next performer coming here in December, and he is truly a world-class talent. Fiddler Mark O'Connor is coming to perform, and he's got something very special planned for his show on December the 12th.
Yes, the name of the show is An Appalachian Christmas, and I believe his son will be there, as well as it's about a nine-piece ensemble. So you'll have vocalists, and it's going to be filled with sentimental favorites of the season. It's based on his Grammy Award-winning recording, Appalachian Christmas, of the same name. I think it debuted at number one or number two on Amazon.com. It was in 2012, I believe, when it came out. Very popular recording. And you'll see, the music is just, it's going to put you in a great mood for the season. And of course, Mark O'Connor himself, he's won many Grammy Awards. He's been nominated for a long list of awards, including he's won the National Fiddle Championship, the National Guitar Flat Picking Championship, and the World Mandolin Championship. I think he's the only person who's won that, all three of those.
And not only does he play violin, but he also plays fiddle, because...
That's right. Yeah. He swings both ways.
Well, the one thing I like particularly about him is that his music is sort of a genre unto himself, but as a violinist or fiddle player, he doesn't just focus solely on bluegrass or classical music or country music. You'll get a little bit of all of that when Mark O'Connor plays.
That's right. I mean, this artist, he plays with symphony orchestras, and he's written concertos for his instrument. And it's interesting what I've read about those particular, when he performs with classical groups, is the score will just be blank for his solo. He's that good, you know. He just improvises. And of course, everything's written out for the orchestra. But he's just a very talented musician.
Well, speaking of symphony orchestras, the Arkansas Symphony will be returning to Riceland Hall in January of next year. And this is a... Tell us about why the concert is called The Eight Seasons.
Well, you'll have two pieces that are both called The Four Seasons. So we can all add four plus four is eight. I can't take credit for the title, really. It's from the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. They advertise it. This particular event is part of what they call their INC series. It stands for Intimate Neighborhood Concert Series. And these are concerts that they are doing all over Little Rock in different venues, smaller venues. And in their effort to engage and connect and reach out new audience members to the power of classical music. And these two songs that they've put together, it's going to be a real interesting pairing, because even though the titles are the same, they're very different. The instruments are the same. They're both string orchestras, chamber groups. I think there'll be 22 string players on stage for this whole concert. Of course, Vivaldi's Four Seasons is a perennial audience favorite. It goes through you know, spring, summer, winter, fall, and Vivaldi wrote music that really captured the feeling of each season, at least back in his time period, which was over 400 years ago. And then we have Astor Piazzolla, an Argentinian, who also wrote a piece called The Four Seasons. Well, he wrote tangos. He wrote the movements individually, and he later packaged them together and arranged them for string orchestra, and they became the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, where he's from in Argentina. So, but they are full of, you know, that Latin-inspired tangos and a lot of passion. But Vivaldi's is equally passionate, but in a different way. So it's going to be very intriguing. And Philip Mann is also going to do a pre-concert talk. And so that will be even more interesting for us to hear about his take on it.
The next event in the Riceland Distinguished Performance Series gives people in this area an opportunity to certainly see and hear some music that perhaps they've never really been exposed to, not even hearing it, but certainly perhaps never even in person. Tell us about these two African groups that are coming to perform on February 22nd.
I had to insist that they make a stop down here in Arkansas. They're traveling all over the U.S., the Midwest especially, on our U.S. tour. They've been to tour the U.S. Three times previously, and they've many recordings, the Kenyon Boys Choir, and everybody will really enjoy the music that they're going to hear, and not only will they be singing Pan-African music from many different styles and cultures in Africa, especially Kenya, where they're from, but they also love spirituals and American popular music, so you will hear a lot of music that's familiar to you, sung by their amazing voices. And they're traveling with a quartet of girls. They're actually four sisters, and three of them are triplets, and their younger sister form the quartet called the Moipe Quartet. Now these girls, they're all 20-ish or younger. I think they're 20 by now. So they're young, and their voices are just like angels. And they got discovered. They're making waves all over Africa, and it's only a matter of time before they are popular all over the world. If you think Charlotte Church, that kind of angelic purity of voice, these girls have that same beauty of their voices. You can go and listen to them on YouTube. They just performed for the inauguration of Kenya's president this year in April in this huge stadium. And you can see the performance of that on YouTube. It's just amazing. So we have the girls and the guys represented in these two groups. And I'm really excited about bringing this to our community. Exactly for what you said, people probably don't have the opportunity to get to know a group from Africa very often. So it's an important opportunity for cultural exchange. Likewise for this African group. They get to see what life is like in Arkansas, you know, and they don't always have the right view of what Americans are like either, because they look at our commercials and our rap artists, and they think that's what life is like over here. Sometimes I have seen that. So it's important for them to get to know us just as it is for us to get to know them. I feel passionately about that, as you can tell.
There's music of yet another culture coming at the next show in March, on March the 18th. Tell us about this Celtic ensemble that's coming to perform.
Clada is an explosion of Celtic dance and passion. Again, another great show that's touring, and we're excited to get them stop here in Jonesboro. We'll have dancing, all different kinds of Celtic dance, as well as beautiful song, beautiful musicians, and there's also a storyline. It's a real show. Apparently there's a romance that's happening among the lead characters, acted out in song and dance. So if you're into dance, and if you're interested in a really fun show with a storyline, you're going to really enjoy this one.
And with the memory of voice play still fresh in our minds, we have another a cappella group coming to close out the Riceland Distinguished Performance Series in April of next year.
That's right. That's Street Corner Symphony, and they're actually out of Nashville, Tennessee, not too far away. But I heard them at Arts Midwest, and just like Rhonda Vincent, I was immediately captivated. I couldn't leave the room. They have this unbelievable ensemble with their singing, and it's not surprising. They have three brothers. That are three of the six members are brothers, and that's Jeremy Lister, Jonathan Lister, and Richie Lister. And they got three of their friends to come together to form this group. Now, you might have seen them if you liked the show called The Sing-Off on NBC. They were runners-up, and a lot of people actually thought they should have won. And they've gone on, they've actually had a lot of success. They've done a couple of recordings, and their newest recording is due out this summer. So they're really talented. So we're also working to try and get some kind of an educational outreach with a school here in Jonesboro. So if you're interested in having them come visit your choir, give me a call.
Well, in addition to the Riceland Distinguished Performance Series, we've talked about all of those shows. You've got something new, a new series this year, this upcoming school year at the Fowler Center. Tell us about the family-friendly series.
Well, like you, Marty, I am fully aware of the kid generation. I have two of my own. They're 9 years and 12 years old, respectively, two boys, and they keep me hip on what's happening. But really, I saw the need for something like this after I've been here for a year. Throughout this season, I saw there was a real need for some kind of entertainment that was quality entertainment where you could bring the whole family, and some kind of a show where we could afford to offer a child price ticket for families that have 2, 3, 4, 5, even more kids. You know, you want to bring the whole family. And I know about family budgets. So we created these two shows as an initial offering for this season to see how it goes. And I think they're going to be really fun. And I know your kids are going to really enjoy them.
Now, the first one is something that it's fairly easy to explain here on the radio, and that is you're bringing in a ventriloquist.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the artist that's coming to perform in October, the first of the family-friendly series shows.
Lynn Trefsker, she is a ventriloquist comedian, and I love her explanation on her website. She says that basically her talent was a childhood hobby that got out of hand. And she's been in this field for over 30 years. She is just so hilarious. I saw her in person, and she even has the audience members involved in her show. She'll bring some people up on stage, and she has this trunk full of puppets that become her characters, different voices, different characters, and it's a good, clean, family-friendly show. I know you're just gonna really enjoy it.
Now, the second show is a little bit more difficult to describe on the radio, and that's the Light Wire Theater. Do your best. You did a good job explaining it to me before we went on the air. So tell our listeners about what exactly they'll expect to see on stage with this ensemble.
Well, think glow in the dark. That's basically it. And which child doesn't like to play in the dark with glow in the dark stuff? Well, I think that the creators of Lightwire Theater are children at heart because they have created puppets that are glow in the dark puppets. They are electroluminescent puppets. They have electroluminescent wire. That's how they describe it. And they are life-sized. So we're going to have this particular two shows with Lightwire Theater in the drama theater to allow for the technical requirements. We really couldn't do it in Riceland. But it's going to be even better in the drama theater because the front row is like 5 feet away from the stage. I think you're going to really think that these puppets are alive. It takes place in the dark. And the largest puppet is 16 feet tall. And they do, the people controlling the puppets, you do not even see them.
And this is not like Sesame Street style puppets. This is something much more elaborate.
That's right. When I saw this show, they were reenacting a classic called The Ugly Duckling. But they've given it a modern twist. It's not just, you know, more than just using something so cool like glow-in-the-dark puppets, but they use great, great music, and the style of the characters is more like today's cartoons, which kids really enjoy. You know, it's fast-paced, and it has, you know, a lot of humorous things happening with these puppets. So your kids, they're going to be drawn in the entire performance.
Dr. Wendy Himes is the director of the Fowler Center on the ASU Jonesboro campus. Tickets go on sale today for both the Distinguished Performance Series and the Family Friendly Series. They're available through the ASU Central Box Office. Details on all the performances you've heard us describe for you today are at yourfowlercenter.com. With this Spotlight on the Arts, for KASU, I'm Marty Scarborough.